Yeah. Who, what, when, where, why, how? Well, how is the H? Gave that one away. That one's free. And then the three P's is, you know, for the conference, the three principles or the three P's of fellowship, purpose, principle, and plan. But really, you could probably extend that to any topic beyond fellowship. But we're going to do that through 1 John chapter 1. And one of the benefits in kind of employing this technique is you get into the Word and you're just in it over and over and over again. And then the other thing that I like about or that I experience in going through that is you read it differently than when you're just reading through, because you're looking for things. You're looking for details, and those really come to the surface. And it really brings a lot of insight into the relationships with things. So very worthwhile practice. And we're just going to kind of go through a version of that today with the time that we have available. We can't really delve into it quite as in depth as would be great, but you know, going through this passage 6 or 7 times and looking through that is just not going to fit in the 45 minutes that we've got. But real quick, I do want to just we can read together from 1 John 1:1 all the way to 2:2. And that'll get it kind of fresh in our minds as we look through and draw out some of these things. So it says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. All right, so you can really answer these questions in any order as you see fit. I like to start with who, and just gives a good who's talking, who are we talking about, what's going on with that. So, you know, in the offset of this, we know that John is the one that is writing this, and he doesn't necessarily come out and say that, but we understand that he is. And he says here, for example, in verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard. So he's using this first person plural, and this is talking about John and company. These are other people who were with John and Jesus physically on the earth. And he's describing things that they saw with their hands, things that they saw with their eyes, felt with their hands. So keep that in mind. He's got this group of we that we have. And what is this concerning? It's concerning the word of life. That is Jesus Christ Himself. That's the topic of John's letter that he's writing to these people. This eternal life is another one you could draw out of there from verse 2. That's talking about Christ Himself, who was with the Father and manifested to them, to John and those guys. Verse 3, he says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. So now we have a second person, plural, you guys, these people that the letter is being written to. We understand that this is a group of believers. He's writing to believers. He's going to make that very clear. The other thing, and we'll see this in some of the other questions that we're answering going through here, but this is a general epistle. It's not written to a specific group. It's not written to you, the Galatian church. It's not written to you, the Thessalonian church. So the you that he's writing here is extended to the you that is reading it right here today. You are that you. This is really important as we develop and see what he's writing about. So there we have the Son, Jesus Christ. And he says, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Well, actually, let me back up a little bit to the last half of verse 3. So what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So you have this dynamic where you have the we of John and his disciples, John and company, the people that were with Christ. And he says the you, the readers that are receiving this letter. And he says, he puts the two together. He puts the chocolate and the peanut butter together. And he says, now there's an us. There's an our. We plus you is now us. And you see kind of that developing in several places. And sometimes he'll pull back and he says, he's talking about things that were the we. But then he includes everyone else and says, okay, this is now us. This is now our. And so that's what you see there at the end of verse 3. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. And that brings in a whole new dynamic because it's not just John and it's not just the readers. It's not just you and me. It's you and me and John and Jesus with the Father having fellowship together. So that our joy, your joy, my joy, John's joy, Jesus Christ's joy may be complete in the fellowship that we have together. Verse 5, he says that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. And God there is, of course, encompassing all of who God is. Specifically, he's talking about the Father. As we develop this a little bit further, he's going to be talking about God, 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 and then his Son, Jesus Christ. So the he, the him, the his, and God is not giving you his pronouns there in that way. Is referring to God the Father. John writes to the little children, and this is an affectionate term that is describing the believers in Jesus Christ. And he'll develop that further into kind of different categories of little children in chapter 2. But for immediately what we're looking at here, this is what we're dealing with, those believers that he's writing to. Again, chapter 2, verse 1, it says that we have an advocate with the Father. That's Jesus Christ himself. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. So Jesus is propitiation. When you see that word, put Jesus right in there. And not for our sins only, but also for those of the whole world. So not just the sins of John and company and we as readers, but the whole world. Everybody is included in this act of propitiation that Jesus Christ has accomplished. And we'll get into that one in a few other questions. So the next one I jump to here is looking at the where question. And this isn't written, this isn't part of what John writes into it, but we know that he spent a fair deal of his life and ministry in Ephesus, and it was very likely that's where he was when he wrote it. Sometimes it's useful when you're asking these questions to understand those things. Where's Paul writing this letter from? Well, he's writing it from a prison in Rome. That influences the understanding that we're going to get in the things that he's writing. Who is he writing it to? Well, in this case, like I said, this is not to a specific target audience. This is a general one. And so those things that might have been specifically applied and saying, hey, you tell these two people in that church to knock it off. You see that sometimes. In this case, it's not dealing with that kind of thing. He's saying, all right, you recipients, you readers, y'all are included in what we're talking about here. So there's some interesting things that'll pop out when you're asking this where question. Where was Jesus before he was manifested to the world? He was with the Father. That's very important for us to understand who he was, where he came from, what he was doing here, where he went. Looking for these kind of things. Skipping on down. It says there, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, that's a place where we choose to walk as believers. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And he has just said in the previous verse that God is light. So when we're walking in the light, we are walking in him. This is a place, a condition that is descriptive of someone that is walking in him. So if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So within ourselves, that's a place. Is the truth residing within me? Is that actively an expression of my life at this time? These are questions that we need to be able to answer in understanding what is John trying to get us to take away from this letter that he's writing. Again, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ, our advocate, our defender, he is in the presence of the Father. And he is with him in that capacity on our behalf. All right. So real quick, I want to take a brief step back before we get into the when question, just to develop a couple things that some of you are familiar with and others maybe heard or, you know, been around some of these things. And I will say that if you're, you know, doing this as a practice, there are there's some things that I'm going to be talking about here specifically with the Greek language. And it's really, really interesting and incredible for the passage that we're looking at. I understand that not everybody immediately has those tools at their disposal. There's, you know, some different study things that you can get and even just have on your phone that you tap on the little word that's there and say, well, what kind of word is that? And if you know a few things, it'll tell you exactly what you need to know. You don't have to know the language to be able to get the gist of what's going on. So I would recommend those sort of things. The other thing is you can go through and you don't necessarily have to pull out the tenses of words to understand time information. There's a lot of time things that are related in passages of Scripture. And you'll see that as you go through, and it's still valuable just to pull those things out, just taking it at face value. But when you can, you know, add that additional layer of the timing of these words and when is this event happening and how is it related to something else, that can be very instructive as well. So we're going to be doing a little bit of that this morning with our when question. And so a couple things about this. So the present is pretty easy. That's what's going on right now. We don't have a whole lot of problem with that. The aorist in the Greek is something that happens at a point in time. It's just saying this thing happened. And oftentimes it's saying this thing happened back then, but it isn't always the case. So it's you just have to keep that in mind. But it's something that happens at a point in time. And we'll see how that develops here. The perfect tense, this one is pretty cool because it's something that happened at a point of time, but then it has lasting, continual results. So we got the little spot there with the arrow that just keeps on going. This is a really important one. We're going to want to pay attention to that. The future is also a pretty easy one for us to understand. And then there's another tense called the imperfect. And this is something that happened in the past for, you know, some duration of time. And we're actually not going to be dealing with the imperfect in this passage. But just so you know, it's like if I'm telling you a story and say, so there I'm going to the store and I'm, you know, doing this and I'm going down the aisles. I'm talking about something that happened maybe yesterday or last week or something, but I'm relating it to you as if you're walking there with me through the aisles, that kind of thing. So you see a lot of that going on, you know, especially, in the Gospels, but also a very common tense. Okay. So with that kind of, overview in mind, we'll take a look at some things regarding the when question. Okay, so the very first thing, we have a time word in verse 1. What was from the beginning? So the beginning, that's a time word. So the biggest question there would be, well, what beginning are we talking about? Is this the beginning of everything? Is this the beginning of the world, the creation, those kind of things? Is this the beginning of Christ's life here on earth? Is this the beginning of something in John's time frame or his perspective? Well, he gives us a little bit of a description of that beginning, because he's saying that this relates to something that they heard, something that they saw, something that they touched with their hands. So this beginning relates to Jesus Christ and his time with them, his ministry on the earth. This could be extended back even further, because that was just a snapshot. That was just a point in time in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And going, you know, back to John, the Gospel of John, verse 1, he begins with the beginning that was before everything else. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And what you'll see in the epistles of John is that he's going to bring in things that he wrote about in the Gospels of John as well and develop them even further for us to understand and appreciate. Okay, so verse 1, there's a few things that are really interesting for us to make note of. So he says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So in this first verse, heard and seen, what we have heard and what we have seen, these are in the perfect tense. So this is something that they heard, something that they saw at this point in time, but the effect of this is ongoing. This heard and the seen is still happening in an ongoing fashion. Now, contrast that with what they looked at with their eyes, and literally in the structure of the Greek language, it's a little bit different than how this reads here in English. So it says, what we have heard, what our eyes had looked at, and what our hands, they had touched. So those things happened at a point of time. So the touching of Jesus Christ with the hands, the looking upon him, and the word is the same. It's theotomai, but it's the word that we would get theater from. Something that you're watching happen, watching unfold before you. That happened as they were taking in Jesus Christ with their eyes. And there was a point in time when that did happen, and there's a point in time later when that couldn't happen because he wasn't there for them to physically touch. He wasn't there for them to physically see. But they were still hearing, and they were still seeing, and that was continuing on to this day. This is really cool. So this was manifested at that time, and they testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 3, he says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. So he's using the same construction, the heard and seen, that has that ongoing effect from that point in time that's continuing on. He's saying, this is what we have heard and this is what we have seen concerning the word of life, and we want you to experience that as well. John wasn't done hearing from Jesus. John wasn't done seeing about Jesus. And he's inviting the readers to partake in that together, to enter into fellowship in the hearing and the seeing of Jesus Christ. Some of these, and all of us here today, have never had the opportunity with these things and these things to do that. But you can enter into something that is every bit as real and lasting and permanent as what John has experienced. He's not saying it ended when I couldn't do this thing anymore with him. He says it still goes on, and I want you guys to be a part of what's happening. I want you to appreciate and understand and enter into that as well. And this fellowship is not just with us who had that privilege and that opportunity. It's with us, but it's also with the Father and His Son. We can enter into that kind of a fellowship with God and one another and experience Christ in a very real way. And it doesn't depend on physical presence. All right. Just another little hint as you're looking through and seeing timing words develop in the English. Usually, when you see have, like verse 3, what we have seen and heard. So, I mean, literally it would be have seen and have heard, but the have supplies for both. That is oftentimes the case where you'll see that perfect tense. So that, just kind of look for that as you read your Bibles. Okay, verse 5 again. This is the message we've heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Okay, verse 6. If we say, and this is saying, if we say, if anyone at any point in time is saying this thing, that we have fellowship with him, and yet we are presently walking in the darkness, we do not presently practice the truth. So at any point in time, if you're saying these things, presently at that very point in time, if you are walking this way, then you are also presently at that time outside of the bounds of truth. You are not practicing the truth. Another quick just aside there on this word practice. You see people try to make a big deal out of this word. Literally, the word here means do, make, or practice. And there's not some special time when it has an extra emphasis of, oh, that person is practicing sin versus, oh, that person is doing sin. It's one word. It means you're doing it. So people try to develop that into a theology and saying, well, yeah, if you just kind of practice killing people, that's really bad. Versus like doing killing people, that's somehow different. So that one's free, but just watch out for that one because that's real. All right, this word just means do. So you could just as well say, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. You're not doing the truth. At that point in time, presently, you're not doing it. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son is presently, it cleanses us from all sin. And if we say, again, at some point in time, and I didn't repeat that here on the notes, but every time you say, if we say, if we say, if we say, it's always talking about that point in time. If at some point in time you are saying that you have no sin, you're presently deceiving yourself. At this moment in time, you're lying to yourself. And the truth is not in you. But if at present you confess your sin, He is faithful and righteous to, at that very point, forgive you of your sin, and at that very point, to cleanse you from your unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, if we're saying that I never sinned at that point, I don't ever continue on in sin, I don't have this trend of sin going on in my life, you're a liar. You make Him a liar, and His word is not in you. Because that's not what His word says about us. You see people get into some weird places with that, saying that there is no lasting impact of sin. There's no sinfulness in my life that continues on as something that needs to be taken care of. We're making Him a liar, the one who is our propitiation, the one who is our advocate. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we presently, at this very moment, have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay, some pretty cool things coming out of that. Timing. I push off the what because there's usually so many different whats you can answer. And sometimes it's helpful to approach the whats and the whys and the hows kind of from a backwards perspective. Just thinking, okay, what did they touch with their hands? What did they see with their eyes? Well, it was the word of life. That's Jesus Christ Himself. What was manifested to us? It was the life. The life itself was manifested to us. The eternal life. What is John proclaiming to the readers? He's proclaiming what he has seen and what he has heard. That ongoing effect of his relationship with Jesus Christ and fellowship. That's what he's seen, that's what he's heard, that's what he's proclaiming to them so that they can enter into fellowship together with him, together with the Father, together with the Son. That's the type of fellowship that he's describing here. And this is the message that was heard and announced. And it says God is something. What does it say that God is? God is light. This is cool. What does it say that He's not? Darkness. And literally it says not a single one. There is not a one single darkness in Him. That doesn't word so well into English, but it's really cool when you understand the concept of what it's saying. Not a single bit of darkness is in Him. He is light, holy. So what do we have when we walk in the light as He is in the light? What do we have when we walk in such a way that there is no darkness with us? We have fellowship. We have something common with Him. Mac and Doug both did a great job yesterday developing that concept of fellowship. Koinonia, having in common, something that's sharing, something that unites us in our life together. I liked Doug's summary of that, which was to share in Christ's life in this world. Fellowship. That's what we have. That's a possession. It's a what? other ones that we have here. Walking in the light, walking in darkness. Ah, here's a fun one. So what is it that cleanses us from our sins? It's the blood of the Son. The blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses us. The blood of Jesus Christ is what makes us clean as we are walking in the light. It says we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That tells us something interesting about this cleansing that's taking place, because this is something that's happening when there is not a one darkness within us, because we are walking in the light as he is in the light. And in this experience of having fellowship with him and walking in the light, he says that he is actively cleansing us from all sin. So you think, well, wait a minute. How is that supposed to work? Because I thought that the sin was the thing that was keeping me from walking in the light, and the sin was the thing that was making it so I couldn't have fellowship with him. So how is it that he's cleansing me from the sin while I'm walking in the light, while I don't have the darkness and all of that? That doesn't make sense. Well, it makes perfect sense, because what he's doing is he's cleansing us, he's changing us, he's removing those things within us, conforming us, cleansing us before the fact. I could see it, you know, in the picture. I think I heard Gene talk about that, you know, a little kid that's dressed up in his Sunday best, and, you know, he's all, his mom's got his hair all slicked over and all that stuff, and there's the mud puddle, and he wants to jump in the mud puddle. You're cleansing him before the fact when you take that little boy and you grab him by the hand and you say, nope, we're not going that way. We're going around that. You've just been cleansed before the fact. You've been cleansed in that ongoing relationship, because you're not going to get into the mud puddle. I don't know. Yeah. Read it in a book. So his blood has an effect in our lives, that it is cleansing us ongoing as we are having fellowship with him. So it says, if we say that we have no sin, what are we doing? We're deceiving ourselves. And what's the outcome of that? Well, the truth is not in us. So what do we need to do about that? Well, we need to confess our sins. So when we are walking in darkness, when we do have that issue going on, there's a way to deal with that. And he says, you confess your sins. And that confession there, just breaking down the word, homologeo, it means to say the same thing as. So we're saying the same thing about that sin as God says about it. All right, I come clean with it and I say, yep, this is what I did. And this is an affront to you, and I recognize that. And I'm coming before you and I'm saying, this is what I did. Certainly not in an arrogant sense of, yeah, and I'm going to do it again. But in a sense of, I recognize that this is wrong. I recognize that this is something that needs dealt with. Another aspect of that homologeo, what does God say about that sin? Jesus Christ, the advocate, is saying it's paid for, it's taken care of. So I don't need to stand there and say, you know, I'm just such a horrible sinner. I'm just, you know, I'm worthless. I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to get past this thing. Say the same thing about the sin. Yeah, I screwed up. I did this thing. This was wrong. I don't want to live like that. Jesus Christ says, it's covered. The blood has covered that sin. And we're moving on. Walk in the light. That's dealt with. Walk in the light. So he's faithful. He is righteous. What is he going to do? He's going to forgive us our sins. He is going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, in the interest of time, I'm going to skip past. You have the idea there, and I can send these notes as well. The other thing, I guarantee you, if you go through this, you're going to pick up all sorts of stuff that I missed. And that's a good thing to do. That's where these things, for me, it's very exciting to go through this. All right, let's look at some whys. So why is he proclaiming these things to the readers? Well, he's proclaiming so that you too may have fellowship with us. That's exactly what he says. Why is he writing these things? It's so that our joy collectively may be complete. Why are we walking in darkness and saying that we have fellowship? Why is that a lie? Well, because God is light and there's not one darkness in him. So if that's our present position, we're lying. But why does he say if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with him? Because he himself is the light and we're walking in him. Why is it that when we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves? Well, very clearly, we do have sin. He makes that clear and includes himself in saying, I'm with you in this boat as John. This is my issue too. If we confess our sins, why are we forgiven for that? Because he is faithful and he is righteous to do that. Why is it that if we say we have not sinned, that this isn't an issue for me, we make him a liar? Because he says otherwise. And you're going to have to pick a side on that one. And either you're the liar or he is. Why am I writing these things to you? Because I don't want you to sin. You may not sin. But if you do, when you do, we have an advocate. There's a solution for that. Jesus Christ. The righteous, Jesus Christ, our propitiation. That's the same word that you see translated as the mercy seat from the tabernacle. That place where the sins of the people were brought into the presence of God and his justice and his righteousness met there at that place and says, you know what? This is covered. Because that blood was going to be applied in the future. The blood that really mattered. So how had they looked at him with their eyes? How had they touched him with their hands? How was that life formally? It was with the Father. How was the life manifested to them in the Son? How is the fellowship that we can have? Well, it's with us. It's with together. It's with that group of believers that is having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. How is the joy that we're going to have? That settled contentment of delight that Roger talked about. It's going to be complete. It's going to be brought to its full position. How did we hear this message? Well, it came from him. Christ himself is relaying these things, and we're receiving it through John. How is it within him? There is not one bit of darkness. How are we to walk? We're to walk in the light as he is in the light. When that happens, how are we going to have fellowship? It's going to be with one another. With you, with me, with the God of the universe. How are we cleansed from all sin? It's the blood of Jesus. How are we forgiven? We confess our sins. And how does he cleanse us when we do so? Completely, fully, from all unrighteousness. Oh, I love that bottom point too. How is he the propitiation? This is great for me. Does it work for you? How about the people that aren't part of this group today? He says it's not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the altar of the cross was sufficient, and God was satisfied with that to cover the sins of every single person that had lived, that was living, that would live. He doesn't set a boundary. He doesn't set a limit on it. He says, it's for all of you because all of you need it. All right, so bringing these things together, the three P's that we're looking at this weekend, what is the principle? Well, going through this 6 or 7 or 8 or 25 times, principle I drew out of this, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son and with each other. That is the very nature of this fellowship that we're talking about this weekend. It's something that is real. It's something that can be felt and seen with eyes that are spiritual and heard with ears that are spiritual. And we can enter into the same fellowship relationship that John said, I still have with my Lord, even though I'm not walking with him physically on this earth. We can enter into that fellowship. What is the plan? Well, the plan is walk in the light. That's how you're going to do it. That's how you're going to have fellowship with him. That's how we are going to have fellowship with one another. And there is no plan B. This is it. Fellowship with God happens when we walk in the light, as he is in the light. And what's the purpose of this? Well, the purpose is that our joy may be made full. And again, that joy is not just, it's not something that is only felt among us. It's something that God, in having fellowship with us, is experiencing joy together as we are walking with him, as we are living for him, as he is doing his work in our lives to lead us, to empower us, to enable us, to give us hope, to give us peace, to give us the sort of joy that doesn't depend on any circumstances that we are going through, and something that can't be taken away from us. He wants us to experience that joy. He wants us to have it now. It's not just about something that we're going to have in the future. And that eternal life that he's referred to before is not a time thing that relates to something that happens after we die. Eternal life is a person. It's Jesus Christ, and he's available for us right now to experience the joy of his abundant life as we simply have fellowship with him and fellowship with one another. All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your word this morning. I thank you for the relationship that we can have with you because of what your son has accomplished. Thank you for the access that we have, that you tore down the veil so that we could just freely and boldly come into your presence, and that we could live our lives with you as you are living within us, and you have made it possible for us to enter into that fellowship experience with you and with one another. And in doing so, you have such tremendous blessings for us, things that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, because it doesn't depend on seeing with our physical eyes and hearing with our physical ears. We can experience it in a very real and dynamic and life-changing way because of what you have given us in your Son. We thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen.